Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 40, The Prayers of Akura, Texts 20, 21, and 22. Verse 20, Namaha, obeisances, Bhrigunam, of the descendants of Bhrigu, Pataye, to the chief, Lord Parashuram, Dripta, conceited, Kshatra, of the members of the royal order, Vana, the forest, Chide, who cut down, Namaha, obeisances, Te, to you, Raghu Varyaya, the best of the descendants of Raghu, Ravana, of Ravana, Antakaraya, who put an end, Cha, end. Namo Bhrigunam Pataye. Dripta Kshatra Vanachide. Namaste Raghuvaryaya. Ravananta Kakaraya Cha. Namo Bhrigunam Pataye. Dripta Kshatra Vanachide. Namaste Raghuvaryaya. Ravananta Karaya Cha. Namo Bhrigunam Pataye. Dripta Kshatra Vanachide. Namaste Raghuvaryaya. Ravananta Karaya Cha. Dritakshatra Vanachire. Namaste Raghuvaryaya. Ravananta Karaya Cha. Namo Bhrigunam Pataye. Dritakshatra Vanachire. Namaste Raghuvaryaya. Ravananta Karaya Cha. Namo Bhrigunam Pataye. Dritakshatra Vanachire. Namaste Raghuvaryaya. Ravananta Karaya Cha. Ladies. Namo Bhrigunam Pataye. Dritta Kshatra Vanachide. Namaste Raghuvaryaya. Ravananta Karaya Cha. Translation. Obeisances to you, Lord of the Bhrigus, who cut down the forest of the conceited royal order, and to Lord Ram, the best of the Raghu dynasty, who put an end to the demon Ravana. You can chant along with me for the next two verses.
Namaste Vasudevaya, Namasankarshanaya cha, Pradyumnaya Nirudhaya, Satvatam Potaye Namaha.
Obeisances to you, Lord of the Satvatas, and to your forms of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Anirudha.
Namo Buddhaya Shuddhaya, Daitya Dhanava Mohine, Mlecha Praya Chatakante, Namaste Koki Rupine.
Obeisances to your form as the faultless Lord Buddha, who will bewilder the Daityas and Dhanavas, and to Lord Koki, the annihilator of the meat-eaters posing as king.
Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
As is common in great devotees offering prayers, we see prayers being offered to not only Krishna, but to Krishna's different forms. So here in these three verses, we begin by glorification of Bhrigupati, Lord Parashuram, who killed the Kshatriyas 21 times, which is always a bewildering scenario. Can't quite figure out what that means. You'd think they would have figured it out after one or two times. Let's get out of here. I don't think I want to be a Kshatriya leader anymore. Somehow or other, he wiped out all the Kshatriyas, and then another group came up, and he wiped them out, and he did it over and over and over again, 21 times. And Parashuram, he carries the Parashu. There are three Rams, Ramchandra, Parashuram, and Balaram. So this Ram carries the Parashu chopper. He cuts them down, just as one cuts down trees in a forest. And then Lord Ram, Raghu Varyaya, best of the descendants of Raghu, he put an end to Ravana, Ravanantakara. We were just singing this in the song, Vibhavarishesha. Ravanantakara, who put an end to Ravana. And then, next verse, Namaste Vasudevaya Namasankarshanaya cha Pradyumnaya Anurudhaya Satvatam Putaye Namaha. Krishna is called the Lord of the Satvatas. So there's apparently, he comes in the Satvata dynasty. He seems to come in several different dynasties, depending on how far you trace back his lineage. But Satvata also means devotees. The Sat devotees are Sat. So the Lord of the Satvatas, the name for Krishna. And then Sankarshan Pradyumna Anirudha, Avasudev Sankarshan Pradyumna Anirudha. So these are the Chaturvyuha. Vyuha means formation, assembly, arms. Prabhupada also called it arms. So they're the aides-de-camp, Prabhupada calls them, of Lord Narayan. The four aides-de-camp of Lord Narayan. An aide-de-camp is someone who's in the military, traditionally, an aide-de-camp with you. Had a general, and then the general had one or two assistants of lower rank, like lieutenants. So those were the aides-de-camp. So the aides-de-camp of Lord Narayan are Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Anirudha. But they don't begin there. Narayan is in Vaikuntha. The original Vasudev, of course, we begin the Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, But that's Vasudev Krishna, the son of Vasudev. This name Vasudev comes up a lot in the Bhagavatam, many, many places in different prayers. And Prabhupada always translates it as the son of Vasudev, as Krishna. The word really means one whose residence is everywhere. Vasudev means all pervasive. I suspect that this is a word that the impersonalists interpret in an impersonal way. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, yes. The all-pervasive oneness is everything. So, but Vasudev Krishna is everywhere. Of course, Krishna Swayam Rupa, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he's not exactly Vasudev. There's one place where Prabhupada says, Vasudev is Krishna without his energies. So, but generally we think of Vasudev Krishna as Krishna out of Vrindavan. The Krishna who never leaves Vrindavan, that's Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Syam Sundar Krishna, Shyama Meva Param Rupam, the highest form of Krishna is Syam Sundar. Prabhupada seemed to like this name a lot, Syam Sundar. One time I was noting in class how, as far as I could tell, I did a search, and the only place the name Syam Sundar comes up is one place in the 10th canto, in the actual Sanskrit. But if you read Krishna book, you'll see it's used all over the place. Prabhupada refers to Syam Sundar a lot. Even in the prayers of the queens of Dwarka. Because I was listening to this, I was reading it, and I said, because I had just mentioned recently in class when I said this, that I couldn't find Syam Sundar, so I was reading the Krishna book and these prayers, and the queens of Vrindavan keep calling Krishna Syam Sundar, and I thought, well, maybe I made a mistake here. Let me go check this. So I went back and looked, and there's no Syam Sundar in the Sanskrit. So Prabhupada seemed to like, of course, Premanjana in that verse in the Dhamma Samhita, Yam Syam Sundaram Achindya Guna Sarupam. Prabhupada is seeing Syam Sundar within the heart. So the highest form of Krishna is Syam Sundar in Vrindavan. Krishna, the most beautiful Lord of the Gopis. And then in Mathura, we have Vasudev, and especially Dwarka. So the original Chaturvyuha is Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha in Dwarka. There we have, of course, Vasudev. Sankarshan is Balaram. Vasudev, Sankarshan, and Balaram. Balaram is often referred to as Sankarshan. And then Pradyumna and Aniruddha, these four there in Dwarka. So from that Sankarshan of that Chaturvyuha, we get a second Chaturvyuha in Vaikuntha. Begins with Narayan, actually. Narayan is in the center. We get another kind of five, like we have Panchatattva. We have another five. So there we have Narayan surrounded by his aides de camp. It's even described how they're standing. I can't imagine that you're just standing there, but somehow they're envisioned in this way. We have Narayan in the middle, and to his left we have Vasudev, and to his right we have Sankarshan. And to Sankarshan's right we have Pradyumna, then on the far left we have Aniruddha. So we have Aniruddha, Vasudev, Narayan, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, in that order. So you may be tempted to think, well, maybe this has something to do with the Panchatattva, another five. But there's no correlation. These are all, for one thing, they're all Vishnu Tattva, these forms of the Lord. So they're very important in the creation of this material world. From the Sankarshan of the second Chaturvyuha in Vaikuntha expands Mahavishnu. So from Mahavishnu, of course, then we have Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So from Sankarshan we have Mahavishnu, but then it's said that from Pradyumna we get Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and then from Aniruddha we get Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. That's the way it's described. Each one of them, they have different functions. Sankarshan's function is integration and disintegration. Prabhupada said, or you can say the law of gravity, that's the integration, what pulls everything together. The scientists, they talk about gravity, but it's another one of those things they just give a word to because they don't actually understand what it is. it's kind of, and it doesn't fit into their theories, their modern theories of quantum mechanics and so on. It's quite bewildering to them, actually. So what is it that holds everything together? We can understand there's something, some glue holding everything together, some attractive force. Because gravity is, it's actually everywhere, holding things together. So that's Sankarshan. But Sankarshan is also, when he lets go, and say, now he's holding it all together, when he lets go, then that's the disintegration. So he's involved in both the integration, keeping everything together, and destroying it all. So the disintegrating factors, the super soul, just like, of course, the destroyer we think of in the so-called Hindu Trinity, the destroyer is Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, he meditates on Sankarshan. In fact, it said the Paramatma of Rudra is Sankarshan. And the Paramatma of Aniruddha is, or excuse me, the Paramatma of, well, the yogis actually. The Paramatma of the yogis is Aniruddha. Actually, it said the yogis meditate on both Vasudev. In some places, it said they meditate on Vasudev. In other places, it says that they meditate on Aniruddha. So Sankarshan, backtracking a little bit, Vasudev is the deity of consciousness. In the creation of this world, last time I had a class, I was talking about the creation, different elements. So there's another set of four constituents of the creation, and that is chitta, or consciousness, and then ahankar, buddhi, and mana. So we have consciousness, which is really consciousness in touch with matter, that chitta, that's expands from, or is represented by, Lord Vasudeva. Then Sankarshan is false ego, Pradyumna is intelligence, and Aniruddha is the mind. So they're sometimes called by these names. In fact, in Sankarshan, he's also chitta. Chitta, we equate also chitta with consciousness, and consciousness, of course, is the soul or part of the soul. Cheto dharpanam arjanam, so chetana, chitta, chit shakti. So chitta also represents the jiva. So Sankarshan is sometimes called jiva. There's a very long purport. In fact, I think it's the longest purport in Prabhupada's books. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Volume 1. Long purport about this Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So the basic idea of the purport is that Shankaracharya has taken Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, who are mentioned in the Vedanta Sutra, and he's kind of minimized them, taking them as ordinary jivas and then expansion of the jiva, and he's taken them as kind of a material cause and effect, that one comes from the other. So in that sense, they're not absolute, because from Sankarshan, from Vasudev comes Sankarshan, from Sankarshan comes Pradyumna, from Pradyumna comes Aniruddha. So sometimes it's stated like that. So there's a whole intricate purport that describes how Rupa Goswami, his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, explains how they're all eternal, and you have to understand, you know, the Chintya Beda, Beda Tattva, and so on. And this is based on a verse from the Padma Purana, so very quite intricate description there. But there it's mentioned that Sankarshan is, he's called Jiva, and one reason he's called Jiva is because he's the reservoir of all the jivas. We hear that at the end of creation, Sankarshan, of course, Mahavishnu, of course, he's breathing out the universes, emanate somehow, they're coming from the pores of his body. The universes are coming out when he exhales, and then when he inhales, he brings them all in. So that means all the jivas as well, the jivas who have not become liberated. And apparently that's a lot of them. They keep going in and out for a long, long time. That's why we're called Nitya Badha, because our stay here goes on and on and on. So they are brought into the body of Mahavishnu. But because that Mahavishnu is the expansion of Sankarshan, it said that that Sankarshan is actually there. They repose within Sankarshan. So Sankarshan is said to be the reservoir of the jivas who are caught up in this material world. So Sankarshan is also expands himself. He comes up in various forms in this material world. In fact, when I was researching this, I discovered that each of these Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha has an abode in the material world. Now, first let me mention Vasudev. Vasudev, there's a planet that was created by the incarnation of the Lord called Vaikuntha. And that the name of that planet is Rama Priya. Rama means Rama Devi. So that planet is dear to Rama Devi. And that planet is situated above Brahmaloka. And that's where the Vasudev in this universe resides, on that planet. Vedavatipura, I think is the name of the town. Vasudev. See if I can get these straight. Because there's one planet, I think that's Vasudev's planet, that's situated, Prabhupada says, there's a planet that's covered with water in this universe. And he resides on that planet. So I don't know what that means exactly. But he resides there. And Sankarshan, or maybe that's Sankarshan, I might be getting it mixed up. I think Vasudev is the first one, maybe Sankarshan is the second one. And then Aniruddha and Pradyumna, they also have planets. Now Aniruddha's planet, Aniruddha, because from Aniruddha, he's the last of the four, from him expands Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is the Vishnu that we know, just normally we say, the Vishnu who's maintaining this universe, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. So that Vishnu, that Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, and he resides on Shvetadvip, on the shore of the ocean of milk. So as far as I could tell by researching this, it's hard sometimes because sometimes you get things that don't seem to agree with each other. But that seems to be Dhruvaloka, Dhruva's planet. But there's another place that says, because it also says that Vishnu resides on that planet, Dhruvaloka, Shvetadvip, the shore of the ocean of milk. When the demigods need help, just like we know at the very beginning of the 10th canto, they go to the shore of the ocean of milk and they're praying to Kshirodakshaya Vishnu or Aniruddha, because Aniruddha is the source of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. But then there's another place that says that Vishnu has a planet near Dhruvaloka. So maybe sometimes it's one way, sometimes it's another way. That's the way we explain these things sometimes. Because of creation, we know, for one thing, of course, Vishnu's planet isn't destroyed at the time of the dissolution. It's an eternal Vaikuntha planet. So in any case, they all reside there. Now, Sankarshan, he has a place higher up in the universe, and he also has a place at the bottom of the universe, from which he breathes out a fire and destroys everything at some point. That place is below Patala Loka. This is another one, because sometimes it says that he resides on Patala Loka, but it's described in the fifth canto that he has a place 280,000 miles, I think it is, below Patala Loka. We had that whole chapter in the fifth canto, the glories of Lord Ananta. So Ananta and Sankarshan, they're also synonymous in many ways. And the names are used for both of them. So Lord Shiva, he meditates and he gets his power. He gets his power to destroy from Lord Sankarshan. And Lord Sankarshan, as I was saying, he's the Paramatma of Lord Shiva. He's also the Paramatma of Yamaraj, Antaka, this just came up here, Antakaraya Cha. So Yamaraj is called Antaka. He's the one who brings the end. That's one of the functions of Yamaraj. In fact, he's also called Adharma. Somehow Adharma is also, I was thinking, well, who is Adharma? Because Sankarshan is called Dharma. But the soul of Adharma is also Sankarshan, because Adharma has a destroying potency. But the soul of Dharma is Aniruddha. So because Aniruddha, he maintains this world. There's so many different aspects to these things. Because Pradyumna and Aniruddha, Pradyumna especially, he's about growth. Pradyumna functions as growth. The growth and maintenance. Pradyumna is also involved in maintenance. So they have these different functions. So in maintaining this world, we have dharma. So I was thinking, well, dharma is usually Yamaraj. We talk about dharma as Yamaraj. But Yamaraj's name comes up in the list of the destroyers. But Dharma's name comes up in the list of the maintainers. So somehow, it seems like Yamaraj is involved in both of these things, in maintaining and destroying. And they have different paramatmas, somehow. Of course, we know that you can have paramatma as you realize your connection with Krishna, however you realize the Lord in your heart, that's your paramatma, you can say. Just like that Nakula Brahmachari, he saw Lord Nrisingadev within his heart. So these things are quite complicated. I was thinking, what's the point, you know, trying to understand these things? But they come up. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, these things are discussed. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's interesting, you see there's kind of a unfolding here. They're related. What is Laghu Bhagavatamrita, you can say, is sort of, it's like, it's the Bhagavatam, but it's put in a story form. A little easier to follow. It's a narrative. But it's so many of the points of the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam also gives a description of the universe and description of different devotees, but they're sort of here and there. But in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, they're put in more of an order. So you can see how the universe is structured and beyond the universe, how the spiritual world is structured, what's the hierarchy of it all, and what is the hierarchy of so many devotees who appear in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's laid out in a more readable fashion, you might say, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami, who considered himself a disciple of Sanatana Goswami. So Rupa Goswami has sort of taken all the philosophy, you might say, sort of extracted all of the hard-to-understand teachings like this kind of thing, and he's put that in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. It's sort of like, well, if you couldn't figure it out by reading the Bhagavatam and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, here's how it works. You know, here's Vasudeva, Sankasham, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and this is what each one of them does, and so on. These are their different functions. So it's all kind of put in order, you might say. Systematized. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you ever read his books, he has so many lists, everything. There are 13 of these, and there are 12 of these, and then there's this subcategory and that subcategory, and so he sort of diagrams everything, all different aspects. So Laghu Bhagavatamrita does some of that too. So that's there. These things are part of our instructions. And of course, if we go back in our sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed Sanatana Goswami in all of these things. I'm still struggling to understand the different categories, Swayam Bhagavan and Prakash and Prabhavilas and Prabhaprakash and all of these things. Part of the problem is that the words, the categories are there, but at least some of them, they're not really define what they mean. Like, I'm not sure what Prabhav means and Vaibhav. What's the difference between those two? Is it has to do with these different categories. Because one thing I came across was this Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. They're in the category of Prabhav Vilas. I know Vilas means pastime, so this is sometimes translated as pastime forms of the Lord. But the difference between Prabhav and Vaibhav, I'm not exactly sure. I think Prabhav usually means when it's the same form, and Vaibhav means like V-bhava, differentiation. Or maybe it's the other way around, because V can also mean distinguished, distinctions. In any case, they fit into this category, probably lost. So this is Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Then today we also heard about Lord Buddha, faultless Lord Buddha. It says Shuddhaya. This is the word in the word for word, Shuddhaya. So he's pure. Even though he speaks impersonalist philosophy, he can't be blamed. He's on a mission. And Kalki. There's, I just discovered, we had in Krishna.com, I was walking through the aisles of the warehouse, and I saw the Kalki Purana. Never even knew there was such a thing. So we have it here. Somebody, Bhumipati, has translated it, Kalki Purana. What I found interesting about it was, first of all, the Kalki Purana, it's spoken by Suta, and he's quoting Shukadeva, just like the Bhagavatam. And there it's described, I think maybe it's in the introduction, that when after Pariksha Maharaj passed away, then not everyone just didn't leave, they kept going and asking questions. So someone asked about Kalki, so he spoke about Kalki Avatar. So that's recorded. So what I found interesting was that if you read it, you'll think it's about something that happened, you know, thousands of years ago, not thousands of years in the future, because you don't hear about computers or whatever the technology is going to be 400,000 years from now. It sounds like, you know, for one thing, Kalki's riding on a horse. You know? People aren't even riding horses today, what to speak of 400,000 years from now. So I was thinking, well, I wonder what happens. Maybe we go through cycles and discuss, you know, everything falls apart and then we're back to horses again at the end of Kali Yuga. So anyway, that kind of struck me. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, he has to put it in the language of the sages that are there. They never heard about Rolls Royces and whatever, you know. So they had to put it in there, what they could relate to. So anyway, that book is there, the Kalki Purana, if you ever want to read it. In fact, in the introduction, I think it's in the introduction, it says there are many Puranas and sub-Puranas, Upa-Puranas, and this is one of the more famous and trustworthy of the Upa-Puranas, is the Kalki Purana. So I guess there's been a lineage that has preserved it. So I completely forgot I was going to say something about Gadadhara, because today is Gadadhara's appearance day, which is kind of important thing to talk about, important personality to talk about. I'll just mention a few things, just an overview. Gadadhara, of course, is in the Panchatattva. So we recite his name every day, many times. In fact, since it's his appearance day, maybe we should learn how to pronounce his name. It's Gadadhara, the accent's on the second syllable, not on the first or the third. Gada means a club, and Dhara means one who holds. So Krishna's name is Gadadhara, one who holds the Gada. So he represents the Shakti, Swarup Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord, Krishna's energies, and especially Srimati Radharani. In fact, in our Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, it's described that he is Srimati Radharani. Sometimes it's said that he's the effulgence of Radharani, but in other places I saw that he's actually Srimati Radharani, but Radharani without her characteristics as a left-wing gopi, without her fire, you can say, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stole that. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stole her bhava, some of her bhava. He took it all so he could come and enjoy it. So the Radha who's with Krishna in Srimati Radharani, you can say is full, and not quite full is Gadadhar. So this, of course, is very exquisite, esoteric tattva. Gaura Gadadhar, they're actually worshipped. Even in our sampradayas, I understand it, Gaura Gadadhar. So how that works exactly, I don't know, because Chaitanya is Radha Krishna. So what is his relationship with Radha as Gadadhar? But in his Leela as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was very, very sweet. Gadadhar was a childhood friend. He was like 1 year younger, I believe, than Lord Chaitanya. And he lived just nearby in the same neighborhood. Their parents were friends, close friends, and they played together from the very beginning. And Lord Chaitanya used to tease Gadadhar all the time because Gadadhar was really kind of mellow and some, you know, opposite of Radharani, very friendly, and he was sensitive, very sensitive. But when they went to school together, they went to the same Tola school, and Lord Chaitanya was always picking fights with people in debates and teasing people. So he would always want to argue with Gadadhar, but Gadadhar never wanted to argue with him, and Lord Chaitanya would force him into debates, and Gadadhar didn't like it. But of course he loved him very much. And when Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, and he came back, and then he started manifesting his ecstasies. So you can read about how he would go crazy sometimes, practically go wild. He tore his whole house apart. And Sachimata, she didn't know what to do, what happened to my Nimai. He could just tear the whole house apart. But Gadadhar would sometimes be able to calm him down by speaking different things to him. And then Sachimata, she saw this, so she told Gadadhar, you never leave his side. Please stay with him all the time so you can calm him down when he throws these fits. So they were together all the time. And when Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, then Gadadhar, naturally, he also followed closely behind. And he lived in one garden called Yameshwar Tota. Tota means garden. So Yameshwar Tota. Lord Chaitanya was there one day in his ecstasy, and he was calling out, where is my Prananath? Where is my Lord of my heart? And he started digging in the ground, and he dug up a murti, a deity of Krishna, and he called the deity Gopinath. So that's where Tota Gopinath comes from. And he asked Gadadhar to stay there and worship this deity, Tota Gopinath, which Gadadhar did. And in fact, he took Kshetra Sannyas, which means he took a vow never to leave and never to give up the service. So that's one reason, or maybe one of the main reasons, he stayed in Puri was to serve his deity. So he was given this service by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, to serve Tota Gopinath. So he served, and different pastimes took place there. But when Lord Chaitanya left, then very quickly, Gadadhar became old out of separation. He was only 47 years old, and very quickly became like an old man. So old he couldn't even lift his arms up to serve the deity. So he was going to hire some Brahmins to serve the deity. So Tota Gopinath spoke to him and said, what are you talking about? You're not going to give up my service. I want you to serve me. So Gadadhar said, but I can't do this anymore. I can't. He said, don't worry, I'll make myself shorter. So the next day in the morning, he went to worship Gopinath, and Gopinath was sitting on the altar instead of standing so he could reach. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his passing pastime was to enter into the deity of Tota Gopinath. And this is one of those, it is said that Gadadhar, it is said by some that Gadadhar did the same thing. That was how he disappeared from this world. So a very close, intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandit. So any questions or comments? Let's start over here. I always tend to skip the lady, so Lakshmi Moni Devi Dasi. I noticed that Devamrita Swami, he's calling all the ladies Devi Dasi. So because to avoid the confusion, because you call them mother and some of them say, I don't call me that. And you call them Prabhu and some of them say, I don't like that. Okay, Devi Dasi.
I just wanted to say that I heard Bhakta Charu Swami speaking about Radharadhar. And he said that when Radharani heard that Mahaprabhu Chaitanya or Krishna was going to come in a form combined of Radharani and Krishna so that he could experience Radharani's bhava, she thought, well, I want to see this. And so she appeared as Gadadhar to witness that
she was
exchange.
Hiding a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Madhavati Devi Dasi.
One comment is from the previous part of your class, Vasudevam Sarvamiti, you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. And recently I heard a translation for that was very sweet. Vasudev is my everything. So I thought it was very, very nice. Another thing was, I guess it's a comment and a question, but I was thinking the second part, as you started talking in the second part of your class about Gadadhar, it was just so refreshing.
So, on your brain, yeah.
Yeah, it was so refreshing. And the same thing, the question comes, why do we have to, yeah. I mean, here you have studied so much, you put so much time in there, and yet I heard you saying so many times that well, I don't know what that is, or I don't know what this is, and for my brains, I don't know anything, you know, and so it's like, let me just hear about Gadadhari. So my, why should we hear about, why should I spend my time about, you know, I want to know Krishna, I want to know how he relates to other devotees, how he's affectionate, his personal aspect as opposed to his creative aspect, you know. So it's a comment or a question, I don't know, it's the same thing that comes in my mind every time that subject
matter. Yeah, Krishna wants us to know all these things somehow. You know, unless we're liberated souls, if you're a liberated soul, then you don't have to hear. And also we see in the acharyas, it's like Prabhupada himself, when Prabhupada would speak about, you know, the most basic things, he would get really fired up, wouldn't he? When you hear him speaking Bhagavad Gita at 26 Second Avenue, his voice cracks. He gets so, because he's talking about Krishna. He's excited about anything about Krishna. So, of course, if we know that Prabhupada and the great Acharya, they couldn't speak about the gopis all the time because they'd always be in ecstasy and they wouldn't be able to teach Bhagavad Gita. But, because I was saying one reason the first part of the class was hard was because I was stumbling over it. When I give class, I don't like to come in here with a bunch of notes, so I just sort of see what I can absorb and try to say something coherent, you know, especially try to match, make the connections within my own brain so I can remember them too. Otherwise, it's just rote memorization. But if you can understand, in principle, oh, Sankarshan is the integrating potency, so, you know, this about him makes sense, and that about, and this about, you know, the different aspects of them, how they relate to this world. So that I was kind of having a hard time putting it all together. So please forgive me for that, straining your brain. And so at least we get a little, what is that? Madhurena samapayate, is that the saying? End on a sweet note, that's the saying. That's the injunction. You ready for one?
I have a couple of comments and a question. Referencing her comment and her question. I remember when reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you get to a part of Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Sanatan, where he's going through the 24 different Vishnus and how they're holding the different weapons and elements. And I was thinking as I worked on that, and actually if you go through, I think there's one repeat, and I think, is this really correct? And I have to, what's going on? I said, why do we need to know this? You know, do we really need to know? And what I was thinking, this may be completely wrong, but I'm just throwing this out, is that there's a part of, we know that there's a tremendous part of the intelligence and people are used for, you know, figuring out what's going on in the universe, how the universe is working. And, you know, the scientists come up with, the people spend their whole lives, you know, and their theories. So that's a reflection of the need to understand, well, what is going on out there? You know, how does it fit together? How is it created? How is it maintained? You know, so these, I always think that these things are provided the fifth canto, you know, so that we that part of the human or the living entity's intelligence can be satisfied with that, rather than, you know, with this, all of this illusion that people think they have the understanding. Anyway, that's my take on that. My comment is the longest purport. I believe the one for Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu is a little bit longer.
Oh.
But you're right, this one in the fifth chapter is extremely long. Now my question has to do with this favorite painting of the Panchatattva. We all know it. You know, Burnley Dar's painting, it's on many, many altars. And I was just looking recently and said, well, what is this now? We have Gadadhar to the left of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's wearing a red dhoti. You have Srivas wearing an orange dhoti. Now, is Srivas ever, you know, it would seem like Gadadhar should have the orange, isn't it? Because he never married, did he? I think he was always, he followed. But I mean, at least at some point, he took sannyas. So I'm just wondering if there's a color, the color code here is not exactly what we're looking at. Do you ever wonder about that? This may be something new. But I would say
either Prabhupada told him how to do it, or, and if Prabhupada did, it was probably traditional in the Gaudiya Math, so who knows, you know, maybe Bhaktisiddhanta said do it this way. And recently there's a whole, you know, the I always wonder, what is the Shastric, what is it called? Shastric Advisory Committee up to in the GBC, and do they ever write any papers? And so I came across one. And you know what it was about? Whether Advaita Acharya has a beard or not.
No, but you know, the big debate
about whether it's...
But you know why that was so big? Because when they installed the big Panchatattva in Mayapur, there's a whole, the Gaudiya Mat is dedicated against that, and there's a statement by Bhaktisiddhanta about Advaita Acharya wearing a beard, which is...
The conclusion was Prabhupada said beard, and that we're going to use a beard. That they could have just done one line and said Prabhupada said. But they did a lot of research, but that was the conclusion. Keep the beard.
I was thinking in response to your question also that it's important to establish Krishna as the source of all the incarnations. And the Vyuha philosophy allows us to do that. You know, people say, well, Vishnu is the source of Krishna. Okay, but how can Krishna be the source of Vishnu? So then you have to go, this is how Vasudev, Sankarsana, then there's Narayan, then there is this, then there is Shirodakshaya, Garbhadakshaya, Mahavishnu, then... So the Vishnu that you're thinking about is just one Vishnu, you know, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, in one small universe, out of the infinite universes, they're coming out of this and that and that and that. So it is necessary for preaching, convincing people that Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. The second is for people who are not easily swayed by devotional feelings, but need intellectual conviction before they will actually take up the process of devotional service and then attain the level you have. So, the Vedas, just like, you know, different people at different levels, that's also necessary. And then the last comment I have is that your first part of the talk was not jumbled or confused at all. I mean, it was crystal clear.
You're a PhD, you're the only person who can understand it.
Certain basics about Shirodakshaya, Garbhadak, you know, all those, that's certain basic thing. But then getting into like who's the Paramatma, who who's the Dharma and the Adharma, you know, I mean, it's like beyond my little intelligence, you know. So I get the small certain amount of basics, but then afterwards I'm trying to hear, but it's just like I'm lost.
Yeah. Well, Shukadev's presumption was we need to hear it at least, right? I mean, look at what is Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's so much of it is about Leela, but there's a lot of philosophy. And how does it begin? There's really heavy philosophy. So like that has to be established to give it. Well, that's where Krishnadas Kaviraj says in that one of those first chapters of the Adi Leela, Siddhanta Bulya Chitte Nakara Alas. Don't be lazy about not studying philosophy, basically. So we're supposed to do it. Prabhupada wanted us to do it. And what I find is that if you really want, there's so much of it. Just like this one thing, all morning today. Giving class is a real japa buster, isn't it? All morning, all you can think about is what you're going to stay in class. So I started thinking about so many, I didn't check this, I should have, what does this mean? And more things, and even though I read for hours and hours all this stuff, there's so much more. So in order to really master these, like if I wanted to write a book about Vasudeva Sankarshan Pradyumna Naruda, I'd have to spend so much time. And this is just one aspect of this kind of thing. So Prabhupada used to say how you spend so many hours a day reading, but it seems to me you have to spend your whole day reading for your whole life. There's so much. We have so much material to try to understand. At least I just feel overwhelmed. So how am I going to get to it? I'm always jumping from one book to another because I want to check on this and check on that. And so there's, you know, this one part is that, like Dravida Prabhu was saying, that we have to be satisfied on the intellectual level. That's part of it. So it's all there. If you want to apply yourself intellectually, all the material is there. Try to figure out these things. Have a whole lifetime just to do that.
This reminded me of a conversation when Krishna was talking to the gopis at Kurukshetra, and he started explaining again the philosophy of, you know, that we're not really separated. And the gopis, they looked at each other and they say, I guess he can't help himself. You know, he knows that we're really, you know, why does he say this to us? You know, and so this has been going on. There's a lot of Radharani fans here.
Are we done?
A quick question. That you said that Gadadhar represents the internal energy. So it just kind of stuck me a little bit, but I was thinking, when we say that he is the internal energy, I don't know, to represent was...
I saw the same thing when I was researching Vasudeva Sangharshan Pradyumananda Ruta. Sometimes you hear is, and sometimes you hear represents for the same personality. So what that means, I'm not sure.
Send it for more research.
Now that we have our electronic devices on hand, we can look up anything at any moment. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.